Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
So you guys, I saw this thing earlier. I guess Scott told me about it. It was a question about where do you get your news and where do you, we've talked about this before, but where do you get your news? Well, we watch the news, we look at social media, where do we get it? But then the next question is, do you believe the news?
No.
And almost everyone says no.
Right.
Do you believe your social media sources? No. Then where do you get truth?
That's right.
And I guess for us, it's going to come to where I get my truth is from the Word of God.
Right.
It's never changed one time.
That's right.
It's not wishy-washy. It doesn't go back and forth. It stays on point. And our job is still the same as it's always been. What is our job?
Reconciliation.
Somebody knew. That's great. Christy. Our job is reconciliation. It never changes. So it's the same. The Word of God is true. That's one of the core scriptures for Foursquare. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He's in love with you. Truly, madly, deeply. And that scripture that I read in Hebrews about, about laying aside everything that hinders us from getting close to God, and it goes on to talk about how Jesus, knew what was going to be laid before him, and he endured the cross, and he just scorned the shame of it and went through it anyway. And we have never been asked to shed our blood, not yet. We've never been asked to do anything like that, but we have to lay aside all the things that hinder and take us off course, so that we can look back to Him, the Author and Finisher of us. There is a promise. There is a plan. And so I don't know if you guys saw or heard anything from this week from our news, but I'm not making a political statement. I'm making a sincere statement about how I feel about faith in God.
Yeah.
Jesus is my King. I have no other King.
That's right.
Amen.
Scott, sometimes I treat him like that. But I only have one King. It's Jesus. He's the only one. And so, some of the stuff that's come out in documents that we've been looking at and taking a look, they're going to start telling us that there's aliens and that aliens are going to enlighten our lives and all this stuff. I'm reading this stuff and I'm like, it almost is like sci-fi. It's like a movie, like a plot to a movie, but it's really happening. And so I was like, well, why are we surprised, though? Why are we surprised? When you look about the Bible, we've been warned. We know the end is coming. And for me, it's like, whatever it takes to get from this to that, I am all in.
Yes.
Whatever happens, if it's persecution, if it's famine, if it's a sword, I know it's big talk, but I trust Him.
Yep.
I watched Him in the Bible feed Elijah with a raven, brought him a sandwich for lunch. It's like, but there wasn't bread there, don't worry. I mean, the raven brought him some meat to eat. God knows how to do it. He knows how to feed us. He knows how to clothe us. He knows how to hide us when we need to be hidden. Remember, it's like when you read this, if you have to, right now, if you ever were going to look at the Word and study it, it's right now.
Amen.
Yeah.
Look at it and hide it in your heart. Because when it's hidden in your heart, no one can take it from you. So I know that God knows how to hide Paul when people are coming to stone him and kill him. I know that God knows how to take Jesus, who's in the middle of a crowd, and move him because it's not time yet. God knows how to do it. And the Word this morning, when Rachel was talking about someone in here has been muzzled, someone has a voice, but you don't know how to use it, you've been shut down or shut up, and it's time to use your voice. Man, that couldn't be truer. That couldn't ring truer. And in my mind, though, I pictured old school Lady and the Tramp in my mind, because that's how I think. And I saw a lady, you remember, she's that Cocker Spaniel. If you've ever had a child and watched a Disney thing, this is probably one you've seen. So.
Right.
They put the muzzle on Lady, and she gets away, but she still has the muzzle on. She's starting to get free. She ran away. She got away from who would just, keep her and put her in a pound and not let her do anything and just mistreat her, whatever that was going to go. And she got away from that, but she still had the muzzle. Do you remember? And she starts dragging it around. It's grabbing cans. It's running through the little street, and all that commotion is happening. And it's drawing attention to her, but she still didn't have the muzzle off. But finally, someone comes and helps her get it off. And it's important, because how are you ever going to reconcile anyone without a voice? How will they know unless they hear? How will they hear unless we're sent? God is sending us now. And so, the last few weeks we've been talking about those four P's we started at the beginning of the year. Pop quiz really quick. I know Jesse's like, don't do that. Just tell us and remind us. We'll be like, yeah, yeah. But I love it when you sound it out. But the four P's: prayer, pursuers of God, becoming a people of his presence, and possessing the land. Okay? Yeah, yeah. See? That's what it is. So we've been talking about since the beginning of the year, and probably until we see him. Because those are the objectives of the kingdom, right? Being a pursuer of God. And once we've done that, and he starts to tell us, hey, I have a land for you to possess. And we talked about that. How do you know that you have land if you've never been present when the will was read? The will is the word of God speaking to you what is yours, right? So in the possession of land, we talked about Joshua and how God says, be strong, be courageous. Every place that the sole of your foot touches, I give it to you. You know what? That gives you like a carte blanche of authority in every room that you ever step into. That it belongs to you. So change the atmosphere in it. Don't let the atmosphere change you. We do it all the time. And I mean, I'm not talking about, you can't have a circle to talk to. Believe me, I have my circle. And we've had some talks this week. And we have settled many things. And other things are far beyond what we can settle. And so we lay those back at the feet of Jesus, and we're like, what is my land?
Yeah.
The title of the message today is, where is my land? Now, have you ever had a property and then you have a neighbor that's next to you and they want to build their fence, but it's like 10 feet under your property, you know, or 20? I mean, I've heard stories like this all the time. And there's, how do you determine where your property line is? You get a survey. You have to go to the county, you have to get a survey, and it says, oh, there you go, neighbor, move your fence. You know, let's have a cordial existence next to each other. And so for you, your survey is written in the Word of God again. Everything goes back to the Word of God. Every truth comes from the Word of God. How to live, how to act, how to treat people, how to worship, how to serve, how to give. You know, we think somehow that we can just keep living in our own way. Remember the three conversions we talked about? So wrapping up some of this teaching today, but the three conversions that every Christian should have. Salvation to Jesus. Yeah, we all have that one. We all have had a conversion to Jesus Christ. This is recapping, everyone. We've all had a conversion to Jesus Christ. We've been saved. Okay? We turned from our former life to him. The second conversion was to a church life rather than a self-centered life. A life with a community of people that believe in God. A life that I live that serves the Lord. And I step into a different world. Right, my life is not my own anymore. I lay it down and it belongs to him, and I don't live according to my flesh anymore. I live according to serving church life, okay? Thirdly, the conversion to mission. You can sit in the church and not serve, sit in the church and not give. You can sit in the church and just be yours, but you made the second step, you got a little closer, and it's all linear, guys. Everything is in a flow. Some people are just further along the road than you are, and that's okay. You're coming. Come on along.
Yeah.
A double dog dare you to start tithing and see what happens.
Ooh,
in your life. I've said it before. I have said, if you try it for 3 months, tithing your income,
yep.
And especially I'm talking to the men because you guys make the most money. There's a couple women that make a lot of money in this church too, but I'm just saying, what are you talking about, Lisa? How are you going to get your land if you never made an investment?
Right.
How do you own a home if you didn't buy it? I'm not saying you can buy God's favor or buy God's, you know, grace or healing or whatever. I'm not saying that. That's ridiculous. Everything in that realm is free. But when you get in a covenant relationship with God, then you start to have an investment that brings you dividends of a holy nature. I can't explain it. You start to live in the miraculous. I know all about it. That's where I live all the time. That's how I pay for everything. I don't know where money's coming from. I have no idea. Tithe. And he opens up the windows of heaven. And you know what else he does? He rebukes the devourer on my behalf.
That's right. There it is. Come on.
I have clothes. I look in my closet. I have clothes. They're 20 years old. There's not one hole. There's not one thing. They might not be trying to eat just then. But it's like, I look at things that don't wear out. I know it's the hand of God. He's always providing. He puts me on vacations. He sends me on trips. I don't know how. It's his plan and purpose for me to have a work and a rest.
Yeah.
So here's the thing about it. How are you going to get your land without any investment, guys? It's about you and God. It's about you and him. If it's offensive to you, that's probably good. Maybe something will stir in your stingy heart. Maybe it'll start to open you up in such a way that you'll be like, I knew I was supposed to be doing something. You know, I knew there was something I couldn't figure out what it exactly was. You know, but this is a big thing to me. It's important because when I look, it's not like I'm not going to minister to someone who doesn't give here. No, of course I will. My life is a drink offering poured out. But what I don't already have my covenant with Him. I'm trying to get you yours, baby.
That's right.
Trying to help you find yours. You think you're blessed now? So here's what we say. Christine's not here, so I can say whatever I want. Christine knows a lot of things around here. But here's the thing. If you give for 3 months in a row and your situation doesn't drastically change, you tithe for 3 months in a row and your situation doesn't drastically change, no miracle happens, we'll give you all your money back.
Can't be there.
That's how sure I am that God will do it. He always does it.
Yeah.
And He's doing it now. It's working in somebody even right now. You know, you think you give to me? Ha! I make this much money. You give to the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And why would you want to start me out anyway? I'm pretty awesome. I think about it. That was funny. That was a little levity in the conversation. Thank you, Jesus. Where's my land? Everybody's getting geared up to possess the land and become a people of God's presence that possess the land that He gave. That's what we're supposed to do. So that when people look on our lives, they look at our lives and they think, that is worth emulating. It might not be perfect, and it sure isn't. But there's something about that life that has a grace on it. It has a mark. It's God's person. It's God's people. Okay? That's all the recap stuff. And today I want you to think about one piece of your land that I know is yours, something that is your possession that God wants you to have. No matter what the news media says, no matter what your relational status is, no matter what your body is telling you, you own personal peace.
Amen.
Personal peace belongs to you.
That's right.
As a child of God, as a son or daughter of God. And so I have to ask you, get peace? Because it follows you. It's like an anchor. It's like grace. It's real heavy. And it kind of just moves into the house and it lives on you. Some people don't have any grace. They don't have any peace. They just flit around, don't understand the room, don't go with the flow. You know, some people don't know. They don't have it. They don't have any peace or grace. Some people lose their cool. Like, I want to lose my cool because I have a flesh. But I have Jesus. And He says, you better not do that. You know what I'm saying. I'll pray a lot of times, Lord, you better help them. Or don't. If you don't, I'm going to. You know. You guys know what I'm saying. You guys are so serious today. Where's my land? Personal peace belongs to me. And there's something about, you know, like I will love and spend time with anybody. Anybody can walk up to me, speak something, get some conversation, have a dialogue about what did this part of the Bible say? What do you think about this, Pastor? You know, we'll have conversations, and that's fine. I'm going to do that the rest of my life, whether I'm in this position or not, because I'm born again. I'm a reconciler.
That's right. That's right.
But everyone doesn't have access to me. I have a small, small circle, and you should too. And it's not offensive. I love you, and you love me. I'm speaking to you about your life and what you need to establish to have peace. Because peace isn't free. There's a war that you have to rage and a battle you have to have and a peace that's found only on the other side of it. Okay? And that's just part of it. But once you've been through the battle and you've been through the rage and you've won and you've established peace in your home and around yourself, you gonna let somebody come in and jack around with it? No, you're not. It takes a lot to get peace in your house. You know how many demons you gotta fight? Jen, how many flesh battles you have to crucify your own flesh, your own anger, your own self-centeredness, your own pride? I'm talking about myself. I just assume everybody I'm in good company. And you go through all those things and you set memorial stones around your house about grace and peace and destiny and purpose, because those are the things I strive for and move toward in Jesus. And so once that's established and something comes in that threatens that, well, I'm not going to just sit there and let it happen. Would you let a giant sow come and wallow in your living room on your carpet or your rug? No! You would never get that smell out. But we do it in the spirit. And it's time to protect. Set the survey. Where's my line? What is the line that I will not allow to be crossed again that disturbs my personal peace. This is the peace Jesus was talking about when he said, my peace I give you.
Yeah.
Not what the world gives you. What I give you. And it's beyond your comprehension. It's a peace that passes your own understanding. And it leads you to a place where it's solid on the inside and you just have this knowing that you know, that's the Lord.
Yeah.
I can feel it. I've grown accustomed to his presence. And I know what his peace feels like. And sometimes that same peace will tell you, get out of here. You are in the wrong place.
Yes.
Or to say, shut your mouth.
That's right.
That was not godly, what just came out. And the next thing should be, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We'll get there. We get there. Baby steps. We get there. As much as we go. You know, Jesus, he made a comment. He said, greater things are you going to do than I've done. Does that boggle your mind? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He rose someone else from the dead. I mean, those are like the top miracles. And I'm like, what can I possibly do that would be greater than what he did? And you know what it is? It's belief.
Yeah.
Believe that everything I just said there, that he rose from the dead, that he has that same power vested for you and for me. And personal peace is part of it. There are storms. We don't just walk around mummified. We don't just put our head in the sand like an ostrich. There are storms. There are real things that are going on. And can we look at that and still have a peace on the inside? We can. That's what I'm talking about today. A peace that passes understanding. Here we go. John 14. Jesus is talking to the disciples, like always. And he says, these things I've spoken to you, while I'm here present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, we love the Holy Spirit here, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. And he'll bring to remembrance all the things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's why we sing this song this morning. Peace. Bring it all to peace.
Yeah.
The storm surrounding me, let it break. That's your name. Still. You call a sea to still. What did Jesus do in the boat when the storm was raging? When the disciples were freaking out?
He
was asleep.
Yeah.
You don't have to fight a storm you can sleep through. But if you can't sleep through it, get the word of the Lord in your mouth and speak to it. Be still. In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys, this is how I fight my battles, okay? I love worship. I can get lost in it. If I can't stop my mind from rehearsing something over and over and over again, and the death of my mom was a big thing, I prayed, Lord, help me remember what I have to remember, but help me to forget some of the things I saw in her passing. I prayed that. I don't want to remember all that stuff. Help me. And if I can't get rid of it, and there's other stuff too besides that. I mean, like, and I don't even say what else because I'm smart. I say, have your way, Lord. Show me what you're showing me. Teach me what you want me to know in this. And when I can't still my mind, I turn my mind onto something different. Because it is impossible to speak out loud and continue to think something different. We've done this exercise before too. But for the sake of, you know, this crowd, I think we can do it. I want you in your mind to think about the ABCs. Start, ready? A, B. Now say your name out loud. Are you still doing the ABCs? No, you're not, you know, because you cannot continue to think on something if you set your mouth on something else.
That's right.
Your words are creative. They're either going to bring life or death. I don't think we ever just kind of have a coasting day, even though I'll say that on occasion. I need a coasting day. I'm just going to rest today. We have a resting day, and that's also affirmative. It's in the right direction. It's part of God's plan, too. So your words and the way that you speak and the thoughts that you think determine the land that you're going to occupy and the land that you're going to own. So if personal peace belongs to you, but you like are a constant complainer, you're ordering complaining. There's been things and people's names that everybody has people that get on their nerve. I mean, if you can imagine somebody not liking me, I know that is a stretch. But everybody has people that don't like them. You know, it's part of life. There's people you don't like. There's people you don't enjoy being around. we're commanded to love everybody with the love of God and to treat everyone kindly, but there's just people that get on your nerve. And so instead of me complaining about that person, doesn't mean I'm doing this perfectly, I'm just being honest, but I'll stop myself and start speaking their name about things of God. Like, Lord, please let that person have an encounter with you. Please let their understanding change, that they might come to the knowledge of your grace. That the word of the Lord might be open to them, that they might understand who they are and who you've made them to be. Instead of, oh my God, I got on my last nerve, blah, blah, blah. Okay? And the first place to start is at home. And people that you see every day and talk to all the time, those are the people that you want to speak the best about and speak the best toward. So if you've got, I don't know, just say your husband is self-centered. I'm just making this up because you know who I'm married to. But just say that your husband only thought about himself. And you're like trying to get a point across, but he can't hear you. Or maybe he just only communicates with his mind and he doesn't actually say the words out loud, but he thinks he's talking to you. And so, what you can do is, are you going to be mean and complain? Like, me and Scott have witty banter, we got this, you know. But I'm just talking about in general. Do you walk around complaining? Are you mad? Are you angry? Are you spit-firing? Are you out loud criticizing? Are you criticizing in your mind? Because if that's happening in either direction to your own spouse, you're going to have a crabby, cranky, self-centered spouse because you're ordering it. How do you know that, Lisa? Because I know that the words of our mouth are creative. Because I know that God created this world by saying, let there be light. And light came. I know that God, you know, he separated the firmament with his words, and he put plant life on this earth with his words, and he stopped the ocean where it is with his words. And we're like him. We're made in his image. I've also seen the water experiment with our words. What does this have to do with peace? Everything? Everything. There's a personal peace that comes, and we order it with our own words. There's a water experiment where there's jars of water and they're filled. The same kind of water, same kind of jar, same treatment. Everything's equal. And one jar sits in light, and one jar sits in darkness. There's one experiment. One jar sits in light with words taped to it like beautiful, refreshing, clean, crisp. And the other jar, dark, murky, moldy, gross. And then there's another experiment where we speak refreshing, sparkly, clean, enhancing, beautiful. And we speak horrible, ugly, terrible, unlovable. And the jar that is filled with water over here, with the light and the right words spoken, if you put it under a microscope, it looks like the most beautiful snowflake. Every little molecule looks like a snowflake, and it's blue and pretty and white. And if you look at this one, with this little molecule under a microscope, it's gray and murky. It looks like pond water. And all of the little edges that would be a snowflake are all morphed and deformed. And I'm going to tell you this, your body is 70% something water. What do you say about it? Are you getting what I'm saying? You have to pull back this revelation to understand, how are you ever going to have peace when you look in the mirror if you speak the wrong things to your body? The molecules will thrive and live under what you speak to it, or they will die under what you speak to it. And once you learn that fact, you become an encourager. Your mouth starts to speak good things. You start to reconcile people back to God. You tracking with me this morning, church? You getting healed in here? You feel that freedom that God is bringing? It's like, there's something about it. There's something about the name. You start speaking Jesus to your body. It's going to rise up. It's going to be healthy. It's going to last for the term of God's calling on your life on this earth. That you fulfill every plan and purpose that he's meant for you to fulfill. It's your land. It's in the will. We read all those blessings from Deuteronomy, Numbers of Deuteronomy. Blessed. You're blessed in every direction. This is part of it. Receive it. Just say, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it, Lord. I receive it right now. The Merriam-Webster definition of the word peace: a state of tranquility or quiet, such as freedom from civil disturbance. Sign me up, Lord. A state of security or order within a community provided for by law or custom. This is just the definition. I'm not making any statements. Just reading you the definition. Freedom from being disturbed or bothered by people or noise. Freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts. Freedom from oppressive thoughts. Harmony. Harmony in personal relationships. Somebody should say amen. Amen. Harmony in personal relationships. Part of your inheritance as a child of God, given to you by the will of God. The thing about God is an interesting thing. God gives you those things, and I'll be like, here you go. You got to get up and get it. It belongs to you, but that's how faith works. Yeah. I make a step, he makes two steps. I speak out the right thing, he answers me. Yeah. I call on his name and he answers. Now, what about the storm that keeps lingering? I don't know about that. That's about my pay grade. Well, what I know is the word is true and it's always true. And it's always been true and it'll always be true. It's tried, it's tested, it's tried in my life. Yeah. And that's where I keep landing. I hope you do too. A state or period of mutual concord between governments. Wouldn't that be glorious? A pact or agreement to end hostilities. Now think about this as your own soul. There's a verb that's peace also. That was a noun. It's a thing. A verb is an action word. To have peace is to become, to be, to become, or keep silent or still. And I don't know about you, but I'm not real good at that. I'm loud and I'm excited and I'm ready to go. And in this time, since my mom passed and I'm learning what the new normal is for someone who loses somebody that close, I'm figuring out something. I've been quiet because there's things I don't know, things I don't understand, and things that didn't make sense. My mom lived a great long life. This is just one piece that I can share with you because everyone is aware. There are pieces I can't share because it's not my story to tell. There are broken things, and it's like until I can see it land, I'm just being quiet. And I'm remembering all the things that he's already done for me. And all the things he's brought me through. Will he fail now? He won't. He never does. So why do I get all jazzed up about it? Why do you? It's your flesh. And it's okay. We're training ourselves. We're training ourselves to grow from Christians to disciples. From somebody who goes to church in that second conversion to somebody who's part of the mission of God in that third conversion until we see him face to face. And Grace Amazing takes me home. So here we go. This is how you check your heart. This is the evaluation part. This is the evaluation series. Let me check my own heart and see the condition of it. I can't evaluate your own heart. I can tell you what I see. I can tell you what I think. I can trust the Lord to speak something. But only he can speak to you about you. And only you can respond to him about you. But I can tell what's going on by the fruit. Yeah. And you can tell by my fruit. The Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, he is. Yeah. So even in something like illustration, like worship, okay? We've said it again this morning. Worship doesn't start when we get up here and start singing. It started all week. Of all the things I shared with Jesus and all the things he said to me and all the conversations about him that I have and all the scriptures I poured over, it's an overflow of my heart that's coming out in worship. Do you understand? And you can tell if it's true or false. You can feel it. You can feel the conviction. You can feel his presence, or you can't. That's the thing. And it always comes out like that. The contents of your heart spill out in what you say. And that's how we can tell. Man, are you okay? And some of my friends, they'll ask really good questions. Hey, how's your heart? And I'm thinking, oh, I probably messed that up. Probably didn't say the right thing. But I want that in my life, and I hope you do too. It's called accountability. So I wanted to read this to you from the book of Proverbs. And if you ever wanted to just do a quick, like, how do I get my Bible study on? How do I, you know, like, we're in a year-long thing right now in this church. So many, many, many have dropped off. Again, check back in. Read the notes, enter in if you want to. See Scott, he can get you in there, get you back in there. Or just jump back on. But if you want a quick one, there's Proverbs, there are 31, okay? And there's 31 days in most months, some have only 30. The last one's for women only anyway, not really. But But there's a proverb a day, and you can read it. One proverb a day. And whatever the date is that the Holy Spirit brings to remembrance these things to you, go to that day in Proverbs and open it and read it. And see if yourself doesn't get excited about what God is trying to teach you, because Proverbs are full of wisdom. I'm almost done. But security and wisdom is the subtitle of this proverb. It's Proverbs 4. So I'm going to put it in context, what I'm going to say. It's about how we talk and how we think and how we order our land and how we order our futures by the way we speak. And how we obtain personal peace by the way we speak, okay? He says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding. Lord, help us to comprehend what you're saying. Open my mind that I can understand what you're saying. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and he said, let your heart retain my words. Read the word, hide it in your heart, keep it in there. What if something happens and you can't get the Bible anymore? What if this shuts down and you don't have 400 Bibles anymore? Hide it in your heart. Retain my words, keep my commands, and what? Live. Okay, go to anyway. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She is wisdom. She will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, wisdom, and she will promote you. She'll bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace." This stuff is beautiful. It's like romantic. It's like the way the Lord feels about us. "Let me give you a gift. A crown of glory, she will deliver you. Hear this, my son, receive my sayings." You know, sometimes we get our hearts so hard and we just think, no, I don't know who's going to tell me what to do. That has to break. That has to come down. In order to have a relationship with God, you have to be open to what he's speaking to you in the word. I'm just a messenger. I didn't write this stuff. It's pretty good, though. "Hear, my son, receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many."
Many.
Few or many. "I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it." This is good information, guys, in case you're not catching it. Well, what about when I'm at work, especially there? What about when I'm with my family and, you know, they want to do this and that, especially there? You're already marked. His name is on you. Jesus, it's on you. "Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. They can't even sleep unless they make someone fall. They drink the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is like the shining sun." I'm almost done. You guys just soak it up. I don't even know if you read the word this week. Lean into it and let it wash you. "The path of the just is like the shining sun. It shines ever brighter into the perfect day, but the way of the wicked like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Oh, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings." Right there he's saying, lean in. That's what I'm getting ready to say. It's good. "Incline your ear to what I'm saying, and do not let these things depart from your eyes. Keep them in the middle of your heart, for they are what? Life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh." Here it is. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your feet from evil." Mm-hmm. You're welcome, church.
Right.
Look, I'm talking to myself. I'm reminding myself that I can speak creatively into a situation and cause it to change.
Yeah.
I believe that. I'm anointed to be a life giver, to speak encouraging words, to build and not destroy, to build up and not tear down. And I've also set myself in a place of boundary to protect my personal peace, that if you don't want my love or affection or goodness, you don't have to have it. I'm still going to stay in this place of personal peace.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And no weapon formed against me can prosper in here.
Right.
And no arrow of the enemy can come and get me in here. Because I run into the name of the Lord. It's a strong tower and it's safe. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what? Good. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good. And contrarily, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil.
Evil.
It's pretty easy. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I just wanted us to, you know, to think about these things and ponder them. How are you talking? Who are you speaking to? I'll give you a Bible example to take with you. I was just reading through Paul's life and through his, you know, his journeys, and that Hebrews scripture really got me going in this direction. But Paul, there's a time when he's trying to go somewhere that he wants to go minister. And it says the Holy Spirit forbid him from doing it. And I was like, I wonder what that means. I wonder if it meant no peace. I don't feel that. You know, there's a tangible thing that happens in you that it's either for the good or bad, and both of them are peace-driven. Some Christians learn to say, I don't have peace about that, in a way that says, I'm not going to volunteer. They're really saying, I'm not interested, I'm self-centered, and I don't have time. And I'm also too cheap, so no. When someone says to me, I don't have peace about that, I twitch a little, I'm not going to lie. I'll be like, well, I felt like as your pastor that the Lord gave me the vision to do that, so maybe I'll go back and ask him if he really meant it. Or I'll wait for the people who will come and come with me, and then that's who I'll run with. And I'm running. I'm moving, man. I'm moving fast. There's the other kind of peace that is, it's like a surety where you think, man, I wonder if I should start this. I wonder if I should do this Bible study. I wonder if I should create, you know, a trivia night and then complain about it for next month. I wonder if I should create something in this direction. And then there's a certainty that lands on you that goes, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm doing this. It's going to be for the betterment of my community. It's going to be a fellowship wonder. It's going to be glorifying God. It's going to bring money into the doors of the church. It's going to be glorious. Everything I step on becomes mine.
That's right.
Everywhere that I go, there's an authority of the kingdom on my life, and I'm at peace.
Yeah.
You can stand up if you want. You can read through those stories with Paul. And it's not that he doesn't get to go later. He does. It's just the Holy Spirit forbid him at a time. He can't go to Asia this time. But later, he gets to. What is that? You have to stop and ask the Holy Spirit, what tragedy might befall me if I keep going this way? What my idea was or what I thought. Maybe God is saving your life. Have you ever been driving and all of a sudden you look up right in time before you slam into the back of something? Now, I've done that a lot of times. The Holy Spirit will be like, you know about that distraction. I told you. Saved you again. It's the Holy Spirit speaking, leading, left, right, this way, that way, not yet. And we have to trust Him. How many times have you not made it through your struggles? Zero.
Yeah.
You're here. You have survived 100% of calamities and trials and pressures that have come upon you. And here you are. The redeemed of the Lord saying so. Walking in an ultimate peace. Speaking the words that will cause you to possess the land that your Father intended for you to possess. And guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Right? Thank you for this word, God. It's triumphant and it's true. And we receive it. We receive you. We receive your love. We receive your peace. We don't understand it. Let it pass our understanding, God, and live in us anyway. Father, let our part be obedience and succumbing to your will. Father, break our hard-heartedness that we might want to be servants of the Most High God.
Yes.
That we speak the word, that we do the word. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, let it come like a blanket now, one of those really heavy, comfortable, weighted ones. That we can feel you and feel your goodness and your glory in the land that we live in. Father, we cast every care on you. We know that you care for us. And Father, if there is a portion that you would have us take on in these last days, speak it to us now. Unmuzzle us. For your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name above every name, Jesus. Amen. Love you guys.
Amen.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.